Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please stow your bad vibes underneath the seat in front of you or in an overhead bin. Please take your seat and fasten your seatbelt. On behalf of Sham, Uptown Mike, and the entire crew, welcome aboard the Black Sand Podcast, nonstop service from New York to Toronto.
Black Sand Podcast. 21. Welcome back. Welcome back, Mike. How you doing over there?
What's good? What's good, man?
Is this our first one for 2021?
Nah, the options was. So we started off real good start to the year. Appreciate all the feedback. Man, I got hit up with a lot of unsolicited investment advice. Like, I don't know what people really heard in that episode, but I'm chilling. I know what I'm doing. I got a game plan. I got some investors be like, yo, do you want to look at my portfolio? Oh, what are you doing? X, Y, and Z. I was like,
what? I mean, we dropped a lot of gems on that, man. Right. That was a good episode. That was a banger. Definitely got a lot of feedback from that last episode.
Yeah, shout out to your boy Dame for that. Appreciate that. You know, I did a lot of that research, but it's still not something that I'm completely comfortable with, but just like anything, I appreciate the knowledge.
Are you still gonna take the leap?
Nah, so I have a few barriers on my side. So finding a brokerage, given my international status, is a barrier that I have yet to circumvent, but all good. I know that you rebounded pretty well when it came to options.
Man, my journey with options is still going. Yo, I doubled it up, fumbled it, got back to square one.
brother. All right. Yeah, you know, I know we have a different topic. We're supposed to be talking about NFTs, but let's break this down for a little bit. All right. So the last time I talked to you, you're just like, yeah, I made all my money back.
And then I doubled it.
And then you doubled it.
So remember, I lost my money. So I put a certain amount of money in. I lost it. Well, I didn't lose it completely, but I lost, I would say, 75% of it. Then I got back to principal to my original amount. Then I actually doubled that amount and I was good. That's when we last talked about it. I was like, oh man, it's the best thing. Give yourself time. And then actually I went back to, right now I'm probably like either at my original or probably like 10% below.
All right. So what was the problem?
Just knowing when to sell, when to get out of the market, when to have, you know, because sometimes we get greedy. Because options is one of those things, especially when you're looking on social media and seeing people get 10x, 5x, since when is 100% gain bad, you know? But when I get 100%, I'm like, nah, that's only 1x. Hold on, I need that 2 or 3x. And so, you know, sometimes when you don't know when to sell, you know, you can lose that all, you know, being greedy, I would say.
So you
but
just...
I know what to do now. I look at it as all learning lessons. So there's certain type of strategies when it comes to options, but I learned for myself, I just do long-term plays. So I only buy options, which are 1 to 2 years.
Yeah, nothing, I was going to say, like, that's one thing that Dame said that I really took from that episode is just like, he treats some of his options as high interest savings accounts, right? Yeah, and if you go with companies that you trust, companies that you can, for a fact, based on your own research, that they're going to be doing well in a year or two, then it kind of seems like a pretty safe bet. But it just sounds like, Mike, you just lack some discipline over there, buddy. All right, so let's get into the next one. All right, so I got to give you your flowers right now, Mike. I got no applause button, but I'll definitely give you your flowers. So you hit me up one day, it's like, NFTs, you know, then the next wave. I'm like, man, get out of here with that, man. Like, you know.
Yo, and we might be late to the podcast of putting this out, but let the people know. I told you this a while ago.
Yeah. So you hit me up and I brushed you off. I said, man, get out of here with that, you know. And then a couple of days later, starts showing up in my news feed. A week after that, I'm seeing it all over the news. And then 2 weeks after that, then it hits the mainstream. And so I'll give you flowers for that, man. You were definitely the first to the party for sure. And, you know, we've been working on some stuff. Well, I'll give you full credit. You've been working on some stuff. So I think the best thing that we could do for the audience was to kind of, you know, really go behind the scenes and see how this NFT thing works. And, you know, you took that role on, you got an NFT created. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to walk everyone through the process. We'll go over what an NFT is, but I purposely didn't do too much research because I wanted to pretty much ask you to fully run it down with everyone. And, you know, I can ask some questions that they're going to have. Okay, so first of all, right. Let's bring it down to very basic terms. All right, so what's the definition of an NFT?
All right, so NFT is a non-fungible token. What does that mean? So non-fungible means it's unique and it can't be replaced by anything else. So like a piece of art or like a trading card that you have, you could have it in limited editions. So you could have something that's, you know, one of 20, or you could have one of one, which is rare. So you can exchange it kind of like, what is it? Like, it's not Bitcoin or a dollar where you just exchange for one another. When you do an NFT contract or have an NFT, it's kind of like you exchange currency or you share something for an asset. That asset can be either, it could be real estate property, it could be artwork, it could be digital artwork. So it could be any of those things. Yeah. And it's basically a book of record of authenticity of ownership.
Yeah, and I guess there's one more thing that you could have included there, and like the whole, there's blockchain involved in this, right?
Yeah.
So when exactly. You're talking about like a book of record, blockchain, we all know what blockchain is because of Bitcoin. And how, you know, we can always trace the owner. So one of the thing is like these items that we attach the NFT to, it's finite. So we're always going to be able to account for where the 1 of 30 is. And you can't duplicate it because of blockchain. So that, I think that's very important. Now, the other part. So now, you know, I gave you guys a little intro on how I got introduced to it. Now, the other part where I kind of feel like I fumbled the bag is Mike hits me up and he's just like, yo, the NBA got this NFT thing going on. And I'm like, man, get out of here with that. Again, I'm just like, man, get out of here with that. You know what I mean? And then you're like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then when I tried to do it, it was all sold out. So Mike, you were fortunate enough to be one of the first few people to grab one of those NBA packs. So why don't you explain what it is? And have you sold anything from there yet?
So yeah, so I went through, so I wanted to dig right into the NFT community and learn everything about it. So we're going to have links in the bios. We're going to post about this on our Instagram site. But I did everything from actually buying an NFT. The NFT that I bought was from NBA Top Shops. And what they do is they kind of like sell digital trading cards, or what they're calling it is moments. And going through my experience, and we could go back and forth on it, but I think we're pretty much on the same same playing field as far as like, is NFT hype or is it the real thing? Is it a game changer and all that? So when it comes to moments, basically is you purchase these moments that the NBA issues. And also it's pretty cool because they've done something with the players union. So the players also get paid with the NFT that's sold, you know? So it's not like a trading card. So a physical asset, if you have a physical trading card, I have Michael Jordan's rookie card. So I purchased that. And whenever I sell that one, there's no way for me to authenticate that I have an official Michael Jordan rookie card. I have to take it to somewhere, physically take it to somewhere, get it authenticated, things like that. That transaction process is long in itself. I have to find the buyer. Who knows where I can find a legitimate buyer, exchange of currency. You could get tricked and everything like that.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing with owning physical.
Yeah.
So if you own a digital asset, go ahead.
Yeah. So I was saying, with all that stuff, you can still get burnt by a really good, a fake piece or something like that. So that's
exactly.
So that's where, you know, the importance of having that blockchain technology comes in. So now, so when you introduced me to the NBA Top Shop thing, I was just like, all right, you're selling plays, right? Individual plays. So this play is worth $30. Yeah. But then I see the same play worth $3,000. And I'm like, yo, this thing is nonsense.
So I guess the thing that determines the value or what people are going after is, one, there's limited edition plays. So the NBA might issue 10,000 of those plays, of those limited edition ones. And then the common packs, there might be an issue of 35,000 of those same moments and all that. So the more limited your play is, the higher in value it is. And then even within a moment, so the Steph Curry 3, they tell you which number you have. So if you have, one out of 10,000, that means you have the first moment that was minted or issued on the blockchain. So whenever you mint something, it's you actually putting it on the blockchain. So they have it numbered, actually. You have one of 10,000. Yeah. People pay a lot of money for the first one minted or whatever Steph Curry's number is. What's his number? I haven't watched the NBA.
Yeah, it's
30. So if you have 30 out of 10,000, that one's going to sell high. The year he was born. A lot of weird, quirky shit like that is like what makes the value of the edition you have, you know?
Yeah. So the same play could be sold in a common pack or it could be sold as a limited edition. And like Mike said, there's a bunch of people just grabbing it for various reasons, thinking that it's going to go skyrocket over the next little bit. So I'm not a big fan of that stuff. Right. So, but I can understand the hype. I can understand people want to collect things, but for me, it's more so around the technology involved with NFTs. So when we look at art, I look at it as a revolutionary tool, actually. So when we look at music, so we have a few people, a few artists, and, you know, ironically, they're both Canadian, Bam Bam, The Weeknd and Tory Lanez. So they released some music using NFTs.
Jim Jones might've been first though.
Yeah, but all right.
Some first, like,
you know, all right.
Well, Uptown Harlem, you know.
I mean, you know what? You know, I give Jimmy his props, but like, why is he always first in the market with stuff, and then he's always like, why isn't he like 10x? You know what his network is? Why isn't he on Jay-Z's level? Because he is always first, like the Capo coin and all that. But like, how does it? Does he fumble the bag? Like, how come it never materializes into like hundreds of millions? You know what I mean?
He's going to be one of those people, I think, that he's just underappreciated. And hopefully he gets his flowers in due time. Yeah. Or later on, people's going to be like, oh, and it's like, man, he's been doing it. I think not like a Master P, but, you know, Master P is highly underappreciated.
You know what I kind of think of? I think of like Nip Hussle when I think about Jim Jones, because of the tech that Nip Hussle, you know, not because of all the other reasons why, you know, Nipsey Hussle's like considered a legend now, but the technology that he was trying to push, right? He was trying to be a forefather in a lot of the integration of tech into music. And you kind of see that in his store and his clothing lines, you kind of see that kind of drive from Jim Jones. But I just don't understand like how he's so knowledgeable about this stuff. And then, you know, I don't see him on Forbes list, but anyways, going back to music. So, you know, when we talk about royalties and people getting the just due, an NFT could be, you know, the perfect tool that these artists need to make sure that, you know, when my song gets played, I get a royalty right away and it's not going to go through these music companies and all that stuff. So, I mean, that could be, you know, I don't know how it's going to be set up. I don't know what how it's going to get.
Oh, so that actually happens. So you can do that. So when you create an NFT, you can have, what is it? You can put something, I think it's not commissions, but it's something like, it's royalties actually. And when you're minting your NFT, which can be a song, as you pointed out, it could be a piece of artwork, you can put, you get 5%, 10% of every sale. So if you sold something for $1,000, whatever like that, you're not only just making money on that initial sell. If that collector additionally sells your artwork, whatever that may be, you also get a percentage back of that, which is perfect. I love that part of it. For me, I think what's missing in this NFT space, which will blow it up if this ever happens, is, so say if Tory Lanez, he sold some of his songs on an NFT. So essentially I own the music if I bought it from him, right? So what does that mean for me, which I think is the missing piece, is say if his song is getting streamed on radio, if it's getting licensed in a movie or something like that, me as the owner, I should be able to get some money off of that, which that's not the case. When it plays on YouTube or whatever, the money's still funneling back to the recording studios or the record labels, you know, and, right. and the artists, not the owner of that NFT. And yeah. that's the same with the NBA Top Shot moments. Like, I own this moment, which is essentially a video clip, but you know, whenever YouTube streams it, whenever it's on ESPN or somewhere, or whatever, can I get some fees kickback? If that starts to happen, man, forget about it.
Game over.
That's a game. That's a game changer.
Yeah, and then, you know, artists could potentially even cut out the middleman. You know, if they start promoting, then they would have to spend less on making sure that they, you know, they get their stuff back, right? So,
yeah.
So the other interesting thing is, you know, just the rush to for people like to capitalize on NFTs, and you know, we're part of that rush too. So Mike, well, let's walk them through the process. So you're like, yo, let's go through and launch the first podcast NFT. All right, so let's walk them through.
Let's document that. I think we are. Are we the first pod? Wait, no, actually, that's a lie. We're not the first podcast. Can I say we the first Black? And I'm gonna add Latino on there. Black Latino podcast.
The first Afro Latino.
Afro Latino
podcast. Yeah, Atlanta, yeah. NFT. Yeah. I like that. I like that. Black Lives Matter. All right. So so you took part of the artwork that we had initially on a previous promo run, then you got it animated. And what was the next step that you took? So mind you, I don't think anyone has gone through the steps of creating the NFT. So obviously, did you go on Reddit? Like, what steps did you take on to kind of do the background research?
So honestly, for me, it was more so I knew what the NFT is. It's we could have put a song out. We could actually put this podcast as an NFT, you know? We can do that if we wanted to. So it could be anything. It could be artwork or anything like that. It could be an image. And I saw what was out. Everything is now NFT art. I said, oh, that image that we have that we did on our last promo run, let's animate that and then let's put it out there just to, you know, go through the steps and see what that's like. And hopefully we'll get a sale from it to just complete the whole process. But got it animated. Then I looked at what are the popular markets to sell or to mint this artwork. And one of the popular ones is OpenSea. You have Rarible. You have a couple of other ones, but OpenSea was by far the biggest that I've seen. And I saw like Bleacher Report. They did something on OpenSea. I saw a couple of popular artists as well do it on OpenSea. So I was like, matter of fact, and it was easy to use. So I watched a couple of YouTube videos. I was like, okay, all you literally have to do, you create an account. You have a crypto wallet associated with it. So, and they work on the Ethereum network. So I bought some Ethereum coins. And basically the cost is what they have, they call it a gas fee to mint your artwork, whatever you have. So it was about the time that I did it, it was probably about like $90. So I just did it from my Coinbase account, transferred it over, did the gas fee. And then there's a small listing fee, like whatever $2 in Ethereum is worth is that. So then the listing fee, and literally it's just literally upload, do the gassing fee to mint your artwork. And in the artwork, you could say, I want one of one, I want one of 20. And I was like, okay, in order for us to get some kind of value, a maximum value, because I don't think we're too famous, you know, let's just do one of one, keep it rare. Add a couple of descriptions on it, uploaded the piece of artwork, and then within 10 minutes it was up on our profile on OpenSea. And then just yesterday actually I put it up for auction. So we got the link in bio. Check it out, support us, you know, Black owned, you know, we in this NFT art community world. And we see how it goes. But the piece that I put up, I titled it Dubai Shit. And for me, it's just what we're in, like what looks like a Ferrari going through the desert, got the black sand on it. We're just cruising by. And I thought it was like a perfect mashup of like, you got the modernness of and the money of a sports car, Ferrari car. And we're in the desert, you know, that Middle East culture. So.
Right. You know, just based on that, you know, I think we should probably do another one, you know, just to keep it going, keep the momentum. So going back to gas. So gas is pretty much the it's the fee that you pay when you use the Ethereum platform. So that's kind of like, just think of it of paying the tax when it comes to gas. All right, so we got it open on OpenSea. Now, there's a few other platforms that you did look at. You want to elaborate on those other platforms?
So the other platforms, just want to look through my notes, but you have Rarible. There's one other one that's pretty popular, but there's a difference between some of these marketplaces. So OpenSea is pretty much open where you don't have to be a big celebrity or anything to actually upload artwork. It's for literally everyone. Some of these other markets, which are known, they have like the top celebrities come and put a NFT on there, and it's like by invite only. And it's like, if you have some kind of clout, some kind of fame, you'll be on these platforms and all that. So that was the main difference. But OpenSea for me, it was more so just literally it's open to anyone and it's easy to do. But the other popular marketplaces, more so you'll get an invite from them to upload your artwork or to do something with them.
All right, so OpenSea looks like it's the way to go. All right, so I think that's a lot of
value. It's the largest NFT and the longest standing one. So it's like right. One of the first.
All right, so what do you recommend? Do you think that people should just go out there and try it? And in Toronto we would say try a ting.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an artist, I definitely think you should do this. So, and I put my boy on, shout out to my boy, Roy Rosa. He's an artist out there, independent artist. His artwork is pretty dope. You know, I'll put his stuff in the story as well. But you need to get, if you're an artist, and especially you're a young artist, man, get on this. And I think you could do it many of ways. And I've just been studying the market. How you can make it worthwhile is sell the physical artwork with the token as well. So people actually get something they can appreciate. Or if you're going to sell a digital token, now they're coming out with display units. And then also I've seen it gone crazy as people are having the virtual reality sets where you can go see your artwork virtually and the shit pops out. Like people are getting crazy with this digital art. So, and if you think of it 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when virtual reality goggles are a thing, or it's like easy to just flick your shades on into 3D world and you looking at your wall and shit is popping out. It could get crazy, you know, and it could be a beautiful thing. But I think for now, if you're an artist and you're like, okay, with this physical artwork, now let me send the digital token with that, then it'll make sense. Because to be honest, I have some original artworks in my house, and it's like I try to sell it on eBay, but how can any, and it's some artists that I know, shout out to Stephen Kogel. He's a great artist as well. You could Google him, check out some of his artwork, purchase artwork. But he did a piece for me. He did two pieces for me and all that. It has a signature and all that, but how can I really sell somebody, oh yeah, this is a Stephen Kogel artwork, you know, where if it had that digital authenticity that was issued by him, there's no question or denying that, hey, I actually bought this artwork from him. Where now it's just like, it has a signature and all that, but right. Who's gonna believe me? I didn't take a picture when he gave it to me or anything like that, you know? So it's all word of mouth, or I have to go back, reach out to him and probably authenticate it or something like that.
So Mike, been seeing a lot of crazy prices for NFTs. So I saw like one painting going for $69 million. An 18-year-old, he made a painting worth $500,000. Like, is this thing ever going to like come down? Or is there a way like people are going to like kind of regulate these prices? Because right now, I'm not even sure what makes sense to even buy. So if I wanted to be, partake in some of this NFT stuff, I don't even know if I should be like selling another investment I have to buy something and taking a chance. Like, I have zero idea. What do you recommend?
I mean, so one, let's put the disclaimer out there. We are not investment professionals. By any means. So anything you do as far as any investment advice from here, we're just simply having a conversation. So keep that as a forewarning, you know? So anyway, back to it. One, I honestly, this is just an exciting space, which I think everyone should get involved in, because you never know where it could go and you don't want to be the person that's left out. You know, it's kind of like Bitcoin when it was at $200, when it was at $1,000. You know, I'm not telling you sell your life savings for it. But hey, if you got some spare change laying around and you want to get involved, and if you're for example, you're a basketball fan, you like the NBA. Hey, I bought my pack for $12 when it came out. Sometimes you might not be lucky like yourself and might not get a pack, but actually last week they came out with a pre-order pack and they issued a bunch of packs where it was almost guaranteed you could get one, and it was for $9, you know? So it doesn't hurt doing that to start off and collecting and see where it goes. What I got in my pack, when I do the reveal, I'll post it, but I got a Kawhi Leonard where if I sell it right now in the marketplace, it's going for like $190, which I only paid $12 for the pack, you know? So try it like that. But also, if there's an artist that you support or something like that, and you like their music, give it a try if it's not too much to hurt your pockets. Or any artist that you like, their physical artwork, if they put some out, you know, dibble and dabble with it and hold on and see where it goes. Right. That's my advice.
Man, because yeah.
I wouldn't say make a whole investment strategy for this and carve out 10% of your portfolio. Yeah. Not yet. It's still early stages, you know?
Yeah. And like I was scrolling through some, so I saw like this picture of like this cat that looked like it had a Pop-Tart on its back and a rainbow coming out of its butt. And it sold for $500,000. That sold for $500,000 in February. Yeah. So I was just like, man, this thing makes zero sense for me. I don't know what's going on, you know? So, yeah. I mean, you know, for me, I think what I'll do is I'm going to try and get a pack from the NBA promotion just to, you know, be active in it. And worst case scenario, it's not going to really hurt my pockets too much. And, you know, it just feels good to be part of some new technology. And I think the best thing, you know, the best advice that we have, you know, is just don't stand on the sideline, just try and get involved. So I think, you know, Mike, I think you probably understand, your level of understanding went very deep because you produced some artwork, you learned how to upload it, and then you put it on the market, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, the best way to do some things sometimes is just to roll up your sleeves and do it yourself. And now, you know, Mike got
it. And I also did it the other way. I was a consumer,
right?
Bought some artwork or NFT. I actually sold one, got my money back, right. And I actually bought another pack. So I have six moments in total, but I actually sold one and got my initial investment, which was $16. So.
Yeah, right. I'm seeing like Julius Randle going for like $300. I'm like, get this thing out of here, bro. All right. I'll give the Knicks their props, even though you're not a Knicks fan, but they're doing the thing this year.
Yeah. Well, whoever's listening to this podcast, mark my words, if there's ever true ownership, you know, this is going to take off. And when I mean true ownership, I want to be able to buy a Tory Lanez song and own it. And I want to get royalties from that whenever it's a hit song on the radio, whenever we're watching a movie and that song is in the background and there's a licensing fee. If that comes back to the NFT owners, man, it's going to be a beautiful thing.
Maybe,
but then I also saw...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I also saw other use cases where, is it Mark Cuban that owns the Dallas Mavericks? He wants to sell tickets on the NFT, the blockchain. And that's gonna be perfect, I think, a perfect use case, because then you can actually validate what you're buying. Because, you know, sometimes you could go on these sites, on these scammy sites, and think you're getting a deal on some tickets, and it could be fluff, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, it works out well for him. He gets commission off that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody eats, you know, so, you know, he's always first to market with this stuff. So I remember you could buy tickets. You buy tickets with crypto. I think he has two coins that you could use for tickets. The Dogecoin and Bitcoin, right? Or Ether. Was it Ether?
Does he do the Dogecoin?
Yeah, I think he went ahead and like included that.
Elon Musk is with the Dogecoin. That's the one with the dog, right?
Yeah, that's No, for real. Like it's here. It's actually on their website. They'll accept Dogecoin for tickets and merch. So, you know, he definitely knows something that we don't know.
He's on it.
Yeah.
Man, you know what we should have did though? He's actually, I mean, but he has the fame and the celebrity, you know, to do that. But he actually was selling himself as a NFT, where you would pay and then you would tell him to say something, like whatever you wanted to say, whatever meant message, and he would put that on the blockchain. It'll be a one-on-one. Oh, we could have hit him up and be like, yo, shout out to Black Sand.
Yeah, that's dope.
Shout out to Black Sand Podcast.
Man. Yeah, but you know, it's funny because initially I remember very early in the crypto space, he wasn't a big fan of it. Then he shifted and he's just like, yeah, okay, you know, 10% of your portfolio. And then I just seen him like opening up, you know, Mavs accepting it. There's a few teams that actually accept crypto. I think Sacramento Kings were another one too. As much as people are going to fight it, we're definitely going to see it, you know, become part of our everyday life. But for me, it's just like the fluctuation right now is just way too hard to really see it, you know, being used for common items, right? Because, you know, one day my floor seats are worth $3,000 worth of Bitcoin. And next month when it shoots up 22%, you know what I mean? You know, look at that. It's crazy. It's too volatile right now. So we'll see if it normalizes. You know how the governments act. Whenever the people are making money, they like to step in and regulate. So we'll see if that happens.
Yeah. Are you out of the? You're out of the Bitcoin space,
yeah,
right?
Man, I'm out of it. But you know, it's all good. Life goes on. I missed a big boom. You know, it's cool for them. You know, the best thing for me to do is not look at that stuff. So I don't get any of that stuff in my feed anymore. I unfollowed all my crypto sites and all that stuff. I don't even look at that stuff anymore. You know, I'm a little bit annoyed because I used to mine. Remember, I used to have that mining computer. And when I moved, an unnamed postal service lost my package. So it was a mess, man. So don't have my computer anymore. COVID hit. It was hard to trace. I was just like, all right, man, forget this crypto stuff. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I could tell my son, hey, you know, back in my day, I actually owned some Bitcoin, and, you know, give him the whole song and a dance. Yeah. Tell him I used to mine it. He'll probably look at me like you're crazy.
You could get back in it with Coinbase. Coinbase is.
Yeah, the IPO. The IPO. So that, yeah. That's yeah, a, yeah. So people that want, you know, a more traditional way of investing in the crypto space, you can use Coinbase. Oh, not financial advice. You know, do your own research, of course. But you know, you can invest in companies that go in that play in the crypto space.
Exactly.
All right, man. So great episode, Mike. I'm sure you know if you have any questions, they gotta hit you up. So you know, people. You know, my
yeah. Hit me up about the NFTs.
For sure,
also,
for sure.
Can we get some support? You got to click the link in the bio. First artwork, Black Sand Podcast. Stop playing with us, man. The auction is up. We put it up for a month. I need to see some bids on there, man. Like, tell a friend to tell a friend. Tag Boss Up. Tag Media Takeout, whoever. Tag TMZ. Let's get this thing sold. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's definitely a good look. You know, excited to see the feedback we're going to get. But, you know, hit me up online. I will redirect your questions to Mike. But I also want you guys to call him out for his auctions, for his option plays, man. He gotta be more disciplined out here. So, Mike, you're on the hot seat. So next time we have an episode, I'm going to ask you how your options are doing again. You know, you got that stimulus package coming in too. So you got an extra $1,400 to pay with.
Let's see. I don't know if I got that. I don't know if we could talk about that on there.
right. Black Sand Podcast. Black Sand
Podcast. We out. Get the all NFT. Right, let's go.
If I had to explain NFTs, I'd probably say, hey, here's the thing about NFTs. It's a non-fungible token, you see. Non-fungible means that it's unique. There can only be one like you and me. NFTs are insane. Built on a blockchain, right. A digital ledger of transactions. It records information on what's happening. When it's minted, you can sell it as art. And this concludes my rapping part.
Wow.